Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
In the beginning of the book of Luke, the stories of the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus are intertwined. And both of these births are announced by an angel, in fact, by Angel Gabriel. First of all, we've got Angel Gabriel visiting Zechariah as he was officiating in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Zechariah was clearly an important person. He was a priest chosen by lot to go to the temple of the Lord and burn incense while the worshippers were assembled and prayed outside. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, we hear he was startled and gripped with fear. And then we also see what Zechariah's response was. In verse 18, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." In other words, Angel Gabriel, you're having a laugh, aren't you? How can my wife have a baby? Have you seen her? She's past it, and I'm not at my best either. And as a consequence of his unbelief and his questioning, Zechariah was struck dumb until John the Baptist was born and was named. Mary, on the other hand, was a young girl from Nazareth, and the contrast couldn't have been more stark. Firstly, why would an angel speak to a girl, a young girl, and nobody important? And why somebody from Nazareth? Now, in 1 John verse 46, we hear Nathanael asking, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It was a nothing town. Quite a contrast to Gabriel speaking to Zechariah in the temple in Jerusalem. And although we don't know exactly how old Mary was, it's likely she was a young girl, and we know she was betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothal is a bit like our engagement, but it's more legally binding, and the only way to get out of a betrothal was to die or to be divorced. And when Gabriel visits Mary, he says to her, "You are highly favoured. Rejoice, you highly favoured one." In the original Greek, the words are kare ke kare tomine. Kare ke kare tomine. Kare ke kare tomine. Lovely to say aloud and to hear the alliteration in that. Mary was the highly favoured one. Mary was chosen. And you know, Mary was chosen not because she deserves favour, but she deserves favour because she's chosen. And what was Mary's response? Well, like Zechariah, she did question, "How can this be because I'm a virgin?" But unlike Zechariah, her questioning didn't come from unbelief. And Gabriel explained to her, "Look, you're going to have a baby. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you." And Mary's response to that is, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." And Mary was also told that her relative, Elizabeth, was pregnant in her old age. I wonder how some of you have received some surprising news. And what's your response been? Have you scoffed and not believed? Or have you questioned but accepted? Your elderly relative Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Elizabeth was a barren, godly woman, and barrenness was thought to be the woman's fault, and it was extremely shameful. Pregnancy, on the other hand, removed that disgrace, and once Elizabeth became pregnant, the disgrace had gone. Mary, on the other hand, was an unmarried young girl. And when pregnancy should be a beautiful time, actually for her, it was shameful. It brought shame, it brought disgrace. And we know that Joseph decided he was going to quietly divorce her. But actually, Mary found favour with God through the shame and through the disgrace, she found favour. The pregnancy of a barren woman is a miracle. But the miracle of virgin birth is even greater. Surely this is a reflection of how Jesus would be even greater than John the Baptist. And we know in John 1:27, John the Baptist says, "He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Now, I don't know why God chose Mary to be the mother of his son. I don't know why he chose a young girl from Nazareth, a place of no renown. I don't know why he didn't make a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, an entry befitting the King of Kings. However, I do know that God revels in ordinariness. He revels in us being ordinary people, going about our ordinary lives and serving him in ordinary ways. This week I've just been going about my ordinary business of running a school in the lead up to Christmas. And I had a really busy last couple of days distributing food from the local food bank to families in the area most in need. And it's been a real privilege to deliver food and presents for parents to wrap up and give their children. It's been a privilege and it's been moving to see parents crying tears of relief because they know that they can now feed their family and they've got presents to give their children on Christmas Day. This is ordinary work. But it's been advancing God's kingdom. And I just wonder, what ordinary work is God calling you to do right now? And I can tell you, God doesn't want any of you to say, "I've got nothing to give, I've got nothing that I can do." Because that is not true. God has given us all gifts. We just need to take what we have and use it for him. In our reading today from 2 Samuel, Nathan the prophet tells David to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant, a temple to house the presence of God. 2 Samuel 7:16, "Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And at that time, David took it literally to be a building and he built the temple. But actually, we know that that temple was brought down. But actually, with Jesus, in the light of the New Testament, we've got the temple that will live forever. And Jesus prophesied about himself and said, "This temple will be pulled down, but in 3 days it will rise again." Elizabeth conceived in her old age. For everything spoken by God is positive. Nothing is impossible for him. Verse 37 from Luke chapter 1. No word from God will ever fail. And Mary's response to these words from the angel, we hear in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." This Christmas, I pray that our response will be like that of Mary and not like that of Zechariah. May we have the faith and trust that Mary has. May we be willing for God's will to be fulfilled in our lives.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.